Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Real as Yates podcast. We are your hosts, Paige Yates
and Taylor Yates.
And in this podcast, we share with you everything we know about real estate, Greater Boston, and life. And in case you're wondering, yes, we are in fact related. We are a top producing mother-son real estate agent team where we lead, surprise, the Yates team.
How you doing, Mom?
Good, thanks, T. What have you been up to?
Well, it's summer now and school is out. And one of the things that I do the day after school ends every summer now is I take my oldest to Canopy Lake Park up in New Hampshire.
And Is it fun?
Yeah, it's super fun. If you go the day after school, the crowds are pretty manageable. And he's now old enough where we can do cool stuff. We can get on like a roller coaster or like the something bear. It's like a
scary thing.
Yeah, it's like an actual roller coaster. It's about 30 seconds long, but it's fun.
I know exactly how to ride those.
How?
You get in them, the bar comes up against you, and you shut your eyes, and 30 seconds later, you open them.
All right.
And you're right back where you started.
The first time we did it, we were getting close to the front of the line, and he started chicken out, and I was like, I'm not going to let you chicken out, bud. You can't do that. And look, let's just time it. How long does this thing go for, right? We timed it, it was 30 seconds long. I was like, do you think you can hold it together for 30 seconds? Like, do you think that's something you can do? And he's like, yeah, I think I can do that.
I'm going to have to tell him my experience. I had the same thing happen to me in Disney World when I went on that big roller coaster. I was terrified.
Yeah.
But I had to say, by the time it ended, I was laughing.
Yeah, it is fun.
It was relief.
Yeah, once you realize that you're not going to go flying off the roller coaster, I have gotten stuck on a roller coaster before. You probably remember this. This is Splash Mountain in Disney World.
Oh, boy.
We were going up. You can Google this, right? If you ever look up a picture of Splash Mountain, you'll see the key feature is this giant waterfall. Basically, it's a giant log flume. And so we're on our way up there, on our way up to the edge of that waterfall, and somebody on some cart, either in front of or behind us, chickened out, and they got out of the log cart and got on the catwalk that ran alongside the ride. And so they shut down the whole thing while the staff were looking for this guy. And we were there for like 45 minutes.
Who are you with?
My dad.
Oh, that's funny.
On the spectrum of getting stuck on a roller coaster, not the worst experience ever, but you were like, gosh, are they ever going to find this guy?
Right. Fun memories.
Yes, fun memories. Once you went over the waterfall, it actually was super fun.
Yeah.
This month, we're talking about entertainment homes and this week, we are talking about wine and dine spaces for high-end buyers. So how do we market these to high-end buyers? So maybe let's talk about what's like a good storytelling strategy when you're marketing a wine and dine ready homes to high-end clients who prioritize lifestyle over even something like square footage.
I don't know. What do you think? What's kind of your focus when you're trying to share that information?
So I think when we sold the home in Sconset a couple years ago, that was like a great example of how storytelling makes a difference. Because look, I sold for like what, close to $12 million?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So you don't need $12 million to put a roof over your head. You don't even need $12 million to get a decent vacation home. And it's hard to put in $12 million worth of finishes into a home. So what are you buying when you spend $12 million? You're buying a lifestyle, and a lifestyle is comprised of stories. So what we did is we talked about Sconset. What does it mean to live in Sconset on Nantucket and how it is a village with its own beach, with easy access to downtown when you want to go to downtown, easy access to the South Shore beaches when you want to go to the South Shore beaches. But at night, one of the things that's really interesting about Sconset is it's like cocktail party central. There's just like this rotation of cocktail parties. And if you're in the group of friends, you're just going from like one person's house to the next. By the time you've gone to everybody's houses, like summer's over, it's time to go home.
Well, I would say it's casual entertaining. And what you're doing is it's a small village. So you're walking or riding bikes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy to say to somebody, hey, come over. Let's have some hors d'oeuvres and cocktails.
That's right.
Enjoy the summer nights.
Correct. Because the tempo of the day is tennis in the morning or golf in the morning, beach in the afternoon, come back, everybody goes.
And see your friends.
Yeah, and then cocktails. And that's the way it's been for a very long time. And so when we talk about how storytelling matters, that's how storytelling matters. That's how you get from a $3 million house on Cape Cod to a $12 million house on Nantucket. The stories that you can attach to a home and the entertaining spaces within it.
I think that's true. But I also think that a lot of the entertaining spaces that we see in, say, high-end homes have been very thoughtfully designed to capture what those people value as important.
Mm-hmm.
Like an outdoor space that is to die for. I've seen one recently where they had a pool, they had a hot tub, they had a big barbecue area, they had a sitting area, they had a fire pit. And I think people walk through the door and they look outside and they go, I can see myself living here. Kids in the pool, adults flipping hamburgers roasting things on the grill, friends sitting around and talking. And I think that people have to see spaces that they can relate to. Like when you were referencing the Nantucket home, it also reflected a wonderful indoor-outdoor experience. All the glass windows looked out into a beautiful pool area and hot tub. For vacation homes or homes that you're using for fun and recreation, that indoor-outdoor transition is very important. I think when you come back to your suburbs, no matter what size house you have, you're always looking to find spaces that you value as a prospective buyer. And you've got to sell whatever the seller's offering to potential buyers. And the wine cellars are just can be beautiful. The lower level can be beautiful with a golf simulator.
Or right.
You can have an outdoor area that's great for kids. So lots of different ways to bring entertaining spaces at all different financial levels into a home and to focus on that.
But to bring it back to the high-end buyers from the top of the episode, I think for folks who have reached that point in their life where money is not the constraint, they just got more money than they really need to run their day-to-day life. What do you pursue after that? And the answer is experiences, or another way to say it is like stories. And I once heard this guy talk about this thing called the experience dividend. When you have a really once-in-a-lifetime experience, you get joy from that, a little bit of joy from that for the rest of your life because you have these memories attached to that thing. And so if you're selling a high-end entertaining space to a high-end buyer, that's really what you're selling.
Their future memories.
Their future memories. The stories they attach to it. So yes, is it convenient to have a grill on the property and is it pleasant to have a nice grill? Yeah, but that's not what you're selling. You're selling that time that will happen in their future when they have just the best barbecue of their life with all their best friends and all their family. You know?
Or they have a graduation party of their
graduation
children.
Correct.
Or they have an Easter egg hunt or they have a wedding. Those are the memories and the storytelling of the setting that you're talking about.
That's right. You're selling the memories they haven't made yet and what the house can do to enable those memories.
Good point.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll take a quick question from the audience. Did you know that Paige and I aren't just your favorite real estate podcast hosts? We're also pretty darn good at our day jobs, too. With over 30 years' experience and $1 billion sold in Greater Boston, we're real estate agents you can trust. If you're buying or selling a home, reach out to us at contact@yatesboston.com today. So when working with buyers who host frequently, what questions should we as agents ask to match them with homes that truly align with their entertaining style and needs?
Well, I certainly ask them what kind of hosting they do, because there are people around here who have events that have 60 family members.
Yep.
Every year they have one event that does that. There are other people that host a lot of charitable events. They're very involved and they do that. And then there are, as you mentioned earlier in our sessions, was CEOs who have to host corporate events. So I think there are three very distinct types of hosting that goes on in a home.
So whenever someone tells me they like to entertain, I tell them, describe it to me. What's a recent party you had, or what was a recent time that you hosted, and what did that look like? Was that typical? Do you do it multiple different ways, or is that kind of like your groove that you're in? And that's how I tailor it. And when we go through houses, I keep connecting back to that. I'm like, this would work for that. That wouldn't work for that. This might work for this kind of entertaining, but not for that kind of entertaining. The nice thing about entertaining buyers is that we've all been to parties.
Right.
Kind of know what the vibe is and what worked and what didn't.
I also think, too, there are people that come into homes, and as we've always said, they kind of make their decision in the first 30 seconds,
yeah.
which probably isn't exactly the case, but they feel the warmth of the home and whether it fits them. But I do think that it also helps with potential buyers that have a focus like they need to host, being able to look at a house and say, well, you host a large family gathering, and maybe you don't want a built-in banquette. If you open that up and you'd have put a table there and chairs, it might be able to extend for those events that are annual events that host a lot of people. Sometimes it helps people and buyers who have an image of what they want in a house, whether it's a kitchen area or the lower level or outdoor area, to be able to say to them, hey, I can send you a picture, or show you a picture of something that might make this more appealing to you with your hosting needs. Like you were talking about the caterer's kitchen. How can I add that? How can I add a barbecue area? Does it fit on this property?
Cool. Well, thanks for the awesome question. If you're a curious cat and would like your question to be considered, you can just send us an email at contact@yatesboston.com or slide into our DMs at Yates Team Boston.
That's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week wherever you find your podcasts. If you like this, be sure to like, subscribe, and give us that 5-star review. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Yates Team Boston, or on the web at yatesboston.com.